Chuck Chat Freestyle for Friday, January 19, 2006. This is a little bit different show. I have a special guest with me. I have Dina Scott from the Controlling Chaos podcast. Forgive me, it's late and I'm tired. Welcome, Dina.
Well, thank you, Chuck. We've been having a great time chatting.
I think we should call this one Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus podcast, because this is this could go anywhere at any time.
Well, that's what makes it interesting, I think, to be able to bounce discussions off of people.
This is terrific. I picked up the Skype call. We started chatting, and I went, wait a minute. Stop. We're losing some stories here. I've got to hit record.
Why am I not recording yet?
Shame on me. I should learn to hit record right away, but I wanted to get that date timestamp thing. If you're new to Freestyle, welcome to the show. This is an audio blog. I usually just do stream of consciousness, but Dina was around, and I said I had a few things on my mind, and she said, well, let's talk, and I said, that's great.
Yeah, well, thanks for letting me hijack your show tonight.
I appreciate it. It's not often I get a guest.
Yeah, well, we were actually just talking about Googling your name, and the fact that my husband came to find out that he's a gay porno star. Are we allowed to talk about this kind of stuff? Do you have a clean rating on your podcast?
You know, it is what it is. I try to keep the dirty words to a minimum, but
see dirty words. I just didn't know if we could talk about gay porno movies.
That's a fact of life. I did a Google search on myself once too, and I found out that there is another Chuck Tomasi selling like overhead store awnings somewhere.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I never thought I'd go into that business.
No, well, you know, we Googled my name, and all we came up with were all of my, you know, blog entries and my website. And so I guess there aren't any other Dina Henry Scotts out there in the Ethernet somewhere, so. I feel very blessed that I'm a special person.
I had a vendor meeting today at a lunch meeting with a new account representative from EMC, one of the storage vendors. And when I shook hands, I said, hi, Vicky, and introduced myself. She said, oh, your picture on the web looks, you know, like your skin is darker. They Googled me.
That's hysterical.
I wasn't sure how to take that. Like, wow, I have a presence, or, you know, you kind of get this, I feel sort of violated. Weren't you supposed to ask my permission or something? And they found the presentation that I did at the...
Excuse me, did you sign the waiver to Google me?
No kidding. It was kind of a strange feeling the first time somebody does that. And I went...
Well, you know what I think it is? I think it's because of how old we are. I think we're still so old school that it's... You know, at least for me, I still kind of get taken aback a little bit when somebody says that they've been looking at me on the internet, even though I actually put my picture out there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and I think people still want to be able to connect and see a face when they're talking to somebody, even if it's ahead of time or on the phone. You know, but my daughter, you know, kids her age, they are so used to being on the internet.
Isn't that
weird? It just doesn't even faze. I mean, all the MySpace stuff, and which, by the way, my daughter is not allowed to go on. And, you know, just all the IMing and, you know, and Flickr and PhotoBucket. I mean, there's just so much information out there for them, and it's just, it doesn't faze them. To me, it still fazes me. It still kind of freaks me out a little bit, honestly.
I've kept my daughter away from MySpace as well. Mm-hmm. I said, what picture did you find? I've been on the internet for 20 years now. So I've got emails in archives from who knows when and where. Yeah, I'm just surprised some of this stuff is still around. She said she found my presentation at the Podcast Expo, and I talked about podcasting for a while. So I said, depending on when you got that picture, I could have had long hair, I could have had short hair, I could have had a beard, I could have been clean shaven. I mean, there was one point where I looked like I could have been taken in by Homeland Security. I love just showing my driver's license picture from 2003. And it's funny. I walk up to the gate at the airport, and they give this, like, not just a double glance, but it's like three or four going, is that even the right eye color?
You know what? I have to scan my driver's license picture because you will not believe it. I have not had a new picture taken since 1989.
Oh, my goodness.
And you should see this picture. It is hysterical. I've got the big glasses, the big dangly earrings, the platinum blonde hair, 1989. It is a riot. People look at this at the airport and they look at me and they go, are you serious?
Aren't you on that 70s show sitcom?
And people will say, what were you thinking? It's like, hey, I was totally with it in 1989, okay? Don't be getting me any flack.
I had to take off my leg warmers for this picture.
That's exactly right. You know, the big, big dangly earrings. All that was missing were the shoulder pads, you know? Because I think they got rid of shoulder pads about 1985, 1986. But, you know, you still had the big glasses, the big platinum hair, and the big earrings. Yeah, I tell you what.
And the stirrup
pants. It's a good thing
pants.
I'm not really out there that much. I'm still new to the internet, so there's not that much out there on me, so...
Well, tell us about your podcast a little bit.
Well, let's see. It's a pretty dull and boring podcast.
Oh, no, it's not. You've got to market
true.
Yourself.
I'm just kidding. Well, it's not quite as fun as yours, but, you know, it's actually been a lot of fun for me. It's a podcast for project managers, and I pretty much cover project management topics, leadership topics. I've been starting to showcase some tools and techniques for project managers, and I've been out there, I guess, since about May of last year, and have been putting out a weekly podcast fairly consistently. I've missed a few places here and there during the holidays and so forth, but it's a lot of fun. It's kind of grown. I've been getting a lot of really neat book authors on the show, and we talk about traditional project management as well as agile, which is, you know, a big buzzword these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that whole concept of doing things iteratively and in smaller chunks and being able to deliver business value a lot faster. So it's something that I'm personally interested in my job. And I've been, you know, a professional project manager for, gosh, I don't know, 12 years now. So PMP certified, and very lucky to be working at a company where we do a lot of really great projects, and I'm very fortunate to be able to do a lot of the larger, really cool ones. So I have a lot of things to talk about and things to talk with other people about, and I just try to make it entertaining and interesting for people when they listen, so they can learn a little bit, and it's not so painful that they wonder how long it's going to take to get through the 45 minutes.
I got to tell you, you have a very easy to listen to voice, and you are a very good interviewer because you say one question and they run with it for 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. Now, nobody's listening to this, right?
So it's right.
Just you and
right.
Me,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Right.
I'll tell you a secret. I edit the crap out of my shows. I have to tell you, I am really not a good interviewer. And I, you know, I have a stream of consciousness that comes, you know, from the brain out the mouth without a whole lot of editing or filtering. And, you know, a lot of my conversations with folks are really just that, they're conversations. But so I spend a lot of time editing on my show. And, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm putting out a good podcast for people to listen to. And I take into account who's listening and why they're listening. And, you know, they really don't want to hear me rattle on and ask the same question three times and mm-hmm. giggle and laugh and tell jokes, and because that's what we do on the interviews. I tend to have a lot of fun with the folks that I talk to, but I take my audience into account, so I edit them down quite a bit. So they're very succinct, so I hear that a lot from people, and I just crack myself up. It's like,
then you are an awesome editor, because it comes out like a really well-done interview.
Well, I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at, listen to the last one that I just did. It's the first part. This guy wrote a book called Surprise, You're a Software Project Manager.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Bas de Bar, and he is a project manager from the Netherlands.
And, I did listen to that one, yes.
Yeah, and we've been kind of chatting back and forth trying to figure out a time to get him on the show for so long. I think I met him through Cornelius Fitchner's podcast, and we've been kind of chatting back and forth for months trying to figure out when we can, you know, get together to chat. You know, it's a little hard because in the Netherlands is like 9 hours ahead. Well, for you, it's like 7 hours ahead. And but we finally were able to get together, but for some reason our personalities just totally clicked, and we just had an absolute blast talking to each other, but it was like a 3-hour recording.
Oh my goodness.
And a lot of the discussion was just us having fun and talking about things that weren't really very relevant to the conversation. So I spent a lot of time editing it down, and I think it came out really well because he listened to it and he was absolutely amazed. He was like, "Oh my gosh."
That was good. That was good.
I remember that conversation, and that's not the way it went. Sometimes I wish I could just let it go freestyle, you know? But, you know, I have a different audience, and I want to make sure that I take their needs into account. And, you know, project managers are a tough crowd, so I want to make sure I have them keeping them coming back for more. And it's really neat because I've gotten to the point now where I have a pretty steady listener base, and they, you know, they share a lot of feedback with me, you know, things that they like, things that they don't like. And I try to take all that into account and you know, just make little modifications here and there and see how people like it. So,
well, in the end, it's your show.
It is. And I think I'm probably getting a lot more out of it than anybody else is, to be honest with you.
Excellent. Now, you are married.
Yes, I am. I've been married for, it'll be 22 years in July.
Oh, you've got me beat by a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I tell everybody I got married when I was 11, so.
Well, that works well. All right, after 22 years.
Yeah.
What's on your mind? I have to phrase this carefully.
Remember, you can always edit, check.
I don't edit freestyle. No. I don't think I've edited a freestyle in almost 2 years.
Freestyle.
That's right. Yeah. What bugs you about men?
I love men, to be honest with you.
Let me put that in the manager tools way. What can I do to improve or change?
Well, you know, I think there's the fact that men are men. It makes them just that much better. I don't know. I like guys. I think I must have been a man in another life because I don't struggle as much, I think, with men as some women do. And I don't know. I'm very lucky. I've got a great guy, and I lucked out the first time. And but I work with a lot of men too, and I guess I just recognize that they're different, and that difference is good. So,
all right, let's go there. You say you're lucky. Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm. Put some definitives on there. What makes you say that you're lucky?
My guy is just, you know, he's a good guy. He's solid and he's honest, and he's cute as a button, and he's funny. He totally makes me crack up still after all these years. I mean, we've been married for almost 22, but we've been together for almost 24. And, you know, he's just a great dad, and he's a great provider, and he's very supportive. And, you know, I feel bad for a lot of women out there that, you know, have had some bad relationships. I wish I could say I knew where they were coming from, but I don't. You know, I've been with my guy since I was 18, almost 19, and, you know, it hasn't been completely perfect every step of the way, but, you know, it gets better every year. So, but he's not perfect, and I think that imperfection is what I love about him. So, I don't know. I try not to be too hard on him.
Do you think that you have a child?
I do. Yep. She's almost 17, yeah.
You have a child. 17, so she's probably going to go off to school soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then
hopefully
it's back
not too soon.
To you and your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you are well-suited or well-situated for life alone, or life together for the next 40 years?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it was a conscious decision for us not to have more than one child, to be honest with you. Because, you know, we're talking just you and me, right? Nobody else is listening.
Right.
And, you know, we were together for almost 5 years before our daughter came along. And we consciously made a decision to start our family. So she wasn't a surprise or anything. So we were ready for her. And, you know, we were very happy by ourselves. And we've made a conscious decision along the way to make sure that we have time together. And we spend that time together. You know, we have date nights, and, you know, we like to just hang out with each other. We have different interests. We have different personalities in some ways, and in some ways we're very much alike. And so we make sure that we have enough time to do things by ourselves. So we have something interesting to talk about when we come back together again. We just like hanging out together. So, you know, it's like our daughter's almost 17. She's never home on the weekends anymore. She's always off with friends. And so we get a chance to spend a lot of time together. And he's my best friend. So I don't know. I'd rather spend time with him than anybody, to be honest with you. So
that's cool. That's great.
I wish I had something, you know, really dramatic to talk about. But
you're making me feel bad.
Oh, I hope not.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, it's funny because you and I have had some chats about, you know, jokingly, but maybe not so much, you know, doing performance reviews for our marriage. And, you know, there's always some things to be improved upon, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not always perfect, so.
Oh, right.
You know, I kind of like that idea, to be honest with you.
good. I'm
I was
glad.
Thinking scorecards.
If she do it, I'd love it. Yeah, I need something objective because it seems like the conversations we have get very emotionally charged very quickly. It's something yeah. about our relationship. We both go on the defensive at a drop of a hat, and it gets in the way. I want to be more objective, if you possibly could be in that kind of scenario. I know it's all subjective, but what it almost put a business spin on our personal life, not to you know, just a way to get the emotion out of the way so that we're willing to accept that, because life's today is so stressful. When can you actually sit down and say, all right, honey, I'm ready to accept some feedback? You know, like that's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, just yesterday it was 9 o'clock. I had a meeting at lunch. We have these small group IT meetings just to, you know, kind of a litmus test of how are things, what's good, what's bad, what's been working since we started these meetings 6 months ago, yada, yada, yada. And two of the people, one works for my wife. We both work for the same company. One works for my wife, and one just started about 5 weeks ago, and she's met my wife. So she got a couple of compliments out of that. And after the meeting, I was bringing the leftover sandwiches down to the lunchroom, and oh, there's my wife. I say, hey, honey, you know, if you're hungry, have a sandwich. I got some comments about you. I'd like to share them when we get home. Oh, we got home, and this daughter's got to go here, and that daughter's got to go there, mm-hmm. and you know, rush, 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 and then church choir. And it was 9 o'clock before we even talked to each other. And those comments didn't even come up. We were both too tired, and so yeah. I delivered it to him to her this morning. I said, here's what Al said, and this is what, you know, Rhonda said. And it was very nice. But, like, wow, what does that say about our society? And if that was just some compliments, how do you get the feedback to actually correct those things that are on your mind or bugging you? Or, you know, jeepers, everything just seems so busy these days.
Well, you know, I think it's that you put aside time for things that are important. You know, and it's an easy, cheap thing to say, but it's really true. And if you really want to connect with somebody, you have to take the time. Like one-on-ones at work. You know, if you've got people that report to you, you know, you don't see people all the time. And, you know, if you really want to stay connected with people, the best thing to do is to sit down in front of them face to face, and you've got to make that face to face time. And you know, I get really busy at work. I don't have any direct reports. You know, I'm a project manager, mm-hmm. so you know, I have you know, several projects going on usually at one time, and I have all sorts of different people coming and going. But the way we structure our projects is you've got a core team and an extended team.
Mm-hmm.
And the extended team folks are usually the folks that interface with the core team folks. So I don't really have any direct interaction with them usually unless there's some major problem. But I make sure that I take time to connect with my core team, especially because I don't know if I think we might have talked about this before, Myers-Briggs personality types.
Yep.
I'm an NT. I'm not a real touchy-feely person. I don't pick up on those little subtle emotion triggers. You know, I can sit in a meeting and I'm talking about topics and facts and what's going to happen, and I miss little clues like body language and right. funny little yep. faces or somebody turning away from me. And because I know this about myself, I make the conscious decision to make sure that I get in front of people at least once a week, even if it's at least try to do a one-on-one, even a drive-by. I don't know what it is. It's like you just can't connect with people unless you're sitting in front of them. And it's the same thing with marriage. I think you have to take the time to sit in front of each other and talk. And there are times in my relationship where things have been very sensitive, that there's a lot of emotion. And it usually is because we're not talking to each other enough and there are unresolved issues that you've pushed down that are festering and causing problems in other areas. And what you have to do is, you know, you have to do a come to Jesus. You know, you sit down and say, okay, you know, robust dialogue time, open and honest communication. You know, this is how I'm feeling. Don't judge it. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. This is what I feel. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. Let me get it out. Even if it takes a while, let me get it out. And then we can deal with it. Because speaking from a woman's point of view, mm-hmm. sometimes it takes us a while to get it out. And sometimes where we start is not really where we need to end up.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you'll get there. If you give them the time and the patience and the energy to let them communicate what they need to communicate, women's feelings and emotions and thoughts are very interconnected. And, you know, I don't like to generalize because I really don't like to generalize, but I think men's thought patterns are a little bit simplified.
I would agree.
Yeah. And no, I'm not saying guys are simple. I'm just saying that I think your thought patterns and your decision-making, you know, paths are a little simpler.
It's a very single task.
Yeah, it's very much so. And I think women are a lot more complicated. Our thoughts and our feelings, and it's almost like we've got ADD. I swear to God. You know, we've constantly got 50 kabillion things going on in our heads, and sometimes it just takes us a little while to communicate what's going on in the head. It's almost like you have to spew it all out, lay it out on the table, mm-hmm. rearrange a few things until it all, like, oh, okay, now it's starting to line up and make sense. And sometimes you just have to give them that opportunity, but the only way to get there is if you take the time to do that. And, you know, I find that some people, and, you know, women are like that, too. Sometimes it's like women don't want to listen to it either. They got enough of their own garbage going on in their head, you know. And, you know, and I guess it's because I don't have a lot of close female friends that I do a lot of sharing and you know, commiserating with. I do most of that with my husband. He is very open to listening to me. And, you know, it's a real safe place for me to just spew out what's going on in my head. And, you know, he kind of does the same thing too, but his is spewed in a different way. You know, I have to approach him a different way than he has to approach me. It's not always perfect. We don't always get it right, but at least we take the time to do that. And I've just found that those unresolved feelings is what causes the emotion to be so high. Mm. If you have a real place of trust and you feel like I've said everything I need to say and there aren't any emotions or thoughts or feelings that are kind of backed up and I'm not really communicating them, you're calmer. You know, I just think it's calmer. You're able to think clearer. So, you know, coming from somebody who has absolutely no psychology background, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV.
I just wrote that in an email today. That's pretty bizarre. Really? Yeah.
I say that a lot. I just play one on TV. I don't know. It works for me most of the time. So,
well, thank you. That was very insightful and gives me a new perspective on how to approach it.
I understood what you meant, though. Yeah. Men are problem solvers, and I think that's another one of the reasons why I think I was a man in another life.
Well, we want a quick. Yeah. Fixed everything. So here's
what I'm saying. I'm always looking to try to fix people's problems, and it always comes from a place of wanting to help and caring. You know, and sometimes you have to let people figure out their own stuff and just give them the space and the time and the attention to let them figure it out on their own. I've learned that a lot from just being a parent.
I learned a lot by being a parent.
Isn't that amazing?
A whole new level of patience.
Yeah. Yeah, patience and just looking at this person as, you know, gosh, I see me and I see your dad, and then I see something that I don't know where it came from.
Aliens.
Yeah, well, yeah, sometimes, especially when she was about 13. She's kind of past that point now, so she's just, you know, she's just a really cool young adult. And, you know, I look at her sometimes and I think, wow, you know, where did that come from? I'm just amazed at her sometimes, you know. She's just really a cool kid and has talents that I don't know where they came from. And, I don't know, strengths and weaknesses that don't really relate to me or my husband. And I don't know, it's just kind of cool. You think I would have done it more than once since I thought it was so cool. But it's taken me a while to get to this place, so.
Oh, we're just headed into the teenage years.
Yeah.
First one, I'm not too concerned about. The first one is very loving, very caring, very open. And I don't have any real concerns about her. It's the second one, who's 11, who's starting to act like she's 16.
That's starting
to worry me. But, I
think the society is so hard when they start really paying attention to that kind of stuff. There's so many bad influences out there. It scares me.
And that's
it
what
really does.
Just makes me want to redouble my efforts and you know, give her the attention she needs. Mm-hmm. And you know, the support.
Well, and your wife may have already said this to you, or maybe you've heard this elsewhere. But you know, I honestly believe that girls learn how to deal with men and how they want men to deal with them from their fathers. And you know, that's the biggest gift you can give to your girls is to treat them and their mother with respect and love and caring, because they're going to know that that is the way they should be treated. And if a girl respects herself, that will prevent them from getting in a lot of trouble and making bad decisions. It's really true.
Good point. I'm also keeping
an eye on her. You have a lot of influence in that.
Yeah, I sort of knew that, but I'm glad you pointed that out to me again. It changes the way I look at some of the things I've done recently and some of the things that are coming up that I need to pay a little closer attention to. Well, this sounds very much like a conversation I had today at work with my boss.
Really? Well, that sounds fascinating. Yeah. I'm sure that it was a related topic.
No, it was unrelated, but we were going over some of the skills, and I just had a PDI 360 review, so it was input from all angles, and you know, where are my weaknesses and where are my strengths, and you know, things that I need to make a conscious effort of now so that they become instinctive later. And you know, you'd think after 13 years of being a parent, some of this stuff would be a little more instinctive. But the rules change every day with kids.
Yes.
You know, they find a new friend, or they're having problems dealing with the friends they've got, and the next day things are all cool and patched up, and it's like, wait a minute, where are we?
Yeah, it leaves your head spinning, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, I can't catch up.
Well, exactly. And I feel very fortunate that you know, my wife has taken such a role, because I can't imagine being a single parent. They've got things to do at school, and you know, field trip permission slips that I never even saw, that just so many things going on in their life that I wouldn't be able to do half the stuff that I'm doing, you know, even sitting here talking to you doing a podcast, because I'd be downstairs doing laundry and just so many things. So I make sure to, you know, thank her all the time.
Oh, that's great that you recognize that, because it's easy to kind of overlook. And I'm hoping that she appreciates what you do as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's usually after she talks to some of her friends and go, boy, am I lucky. You've been talking to your friends again.
I had no idea how good I had it.
Yeah. So-and-so's been married twice, and the second one's failing, and it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, you know, I have several friends that are like that are so lost. And I just feel so bad. I wish I could tell them the secret magic potion, you know, to drink or to sprinkle on themselves, or some poor schmo that's standing nearby to turn them into Prince Charming. You know, I don't think there is any magic potion. I think a lot of it has to do with hard work and luck. Luck and chemistry, you know? And if you forget that, you know, if you start looking... And you know, we're at kind of at that age, that midlife crisis age, where it's so easy to start thinking, you know, that must be a lot better over there. And, you know...
I'm glad I'm not the only one thinking that right now.
No. And you know what? It's not just men that think that. You know, you tend to see that a lot, that men go through midlife crises where they start buying motorcycles and getting tattoos and, you know, winking at young girls and stuff. But, you know, I think it's women go through it
as well.
Are
you stalking me?
Yeah, all the way from California. You know, and it is. It's like one of those things you have to consciously just make an effort to remind yourself, hey, I'm very lucky. And, you know, what I've got here at home is pretty darn good.
And, oh, yeah.
You know.
And it doesn't hurt to look at the old wedding band once in a while and go,
that's right.
I made a commitment. Doggone it. I'm going to stick to it.
That's right. And, you know, I'm kind of one of those people that really believes in hanging in there, you know, as much as possible.
Yeah.
There are certain things that you shouldn't put up with, but, you know, things like, you know, cutting your toenails in bed, you know, or things like that. It's like, oh, God, don't get yourself all wrapped up in stuff like that. I have a girlfriend that is literally coming up to her fourth marriage, and she is, I think she's 5 years younger than I am, so that would make her 37. And yeah. I'm just amazed by that. It's like 37 and you're already getting ready to get married again for the fourth time. It's like, isn't that isn't that insanity? You know, keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And she always ends up with the same guy. And I'm just thinking,
she's been married to the same guy four times, or she's winding up with the same personality guy?
Same type guy. Yeah. Same personality, the same flaws.
All right. You know, here's where I got to bring business back into this. All right, if I'm going out with a woman, I would date her long enough to kind of get a history of how many times she's been married before and sort of get the resume o' life in there. If you can't, when I'm looking through resumes and somebody can't hold a job for more than a year, it's out. If I were dating a woman and she's been married four times, I don't care what the story is. That just red flags all over the place to me, but...
It's an easy sale, Chuck. Let's put it that way.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah. I think people, and I'm not saying men are just like this. I think it probably tends to be more men that do this. But, you know, they tend to have a hard time looking past the package. And then they buy the package. And then they open the package. And then they're like, oh, crap. That's not quite what I thought I was buying. You know what I mean?
Where'd I put the receipt?
Exactly. Oh, man. I'm past my 30 days, aren't I? Yeah, so I mean, again, you know, I think that's the reason why. And I think that's one of the reasons why she ends up with the same kind of guy, too, because it's the same kind of guy that tends to only look at the package.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if she actually ended up being with a decent guy, he would probably not be with her because he would see beyond the fancy wrapping and the big bow on top.
Ah, big bow. Mm-hmm. Now I get the picture.
Yeah, big bow. Much bigger than it was like 5 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Glad this is family safe.
I'm trying to keep that in mind for you.
Oh, I've got a couple other things that I want to talk about, but we're a little longer than normal. I want to do this again.
I would love to do this again. I miss talking to people on my podcast, so I would be more than happy to join you anytime you'd like.
All right, we're going to get more into kids and teaching them lessons next time. How about that?
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Because I have some thoughts.
Because maybe you can teach me a few things.
Yeah. I mean, you're almost done.
Oh, gosh. You know what, though? I wish I could say I was, but I don't think I am.
Yeah, but I wanted to take that in a whole different direction. It didn't even pertain to my kids specifically. I teach second grade, first grade. I keep forgetting that. I taught second grade Sunday school for 2-3 years. Now I'm back to first, so I have to readjust my brain.
They are so cute at that age.
They are cute. They're adorable.
So cute.
They
haven't
old
been
enough.
Tainted by hormones yet or anything.
Exactly. They're old enough, so they're not like 3 and 4 years old.
Yes.
But they're young enough that they haven't really explored the whole attitude thing. And I like this range.
You know what? I think kids that age, you actually see what they're really going to be like as adults.
Yep.
Honestly, I really do. Before the hormones kick in and all the craziness kicks in, that's what they're probably going to end up being like, except for the, you know, pulling on each other's, you know, pigtails and running around in the mud kind of thing. That's kind of what they end up being when they get to be adults. You know, it's kind of cool to see little kids like that.
I didn't realize how long I've been doing this until a couple Saturdays ago. There was one of my former Sunday school students taking his third degree black belt test at the karate school. And he's a man.
Oh, wait. No, that was the kid that you were talking about just on the last freestyle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk more to you about that because that is really, really cool to me.
The karate
going
thing?
After your, yes.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That's totally cool.
I'm going to put that down for our next show.
Yeah, I'd like to talk more about that. I think I'm a little too old to go after something like that, but
never.
I have fantasies about kicking butt and taking names.
There are women in their 40s. There are men in their 50s and 60s. Oh yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, there's a guy, a PM at work. He's I think he's been with us for about a year or so, and I think he's a second or third degree black belt. But he comes in every once in a while with, like, bruises on his face and hobbling a little bit. And, you know, he's like, yeah, I was sparring with my wife. I guess she does it, too.
Yeah, we've got a couple like that, too.
Yeah, there's actually a guy at work that he and his wife both do. I don't think it's karate. I think it's, like, jiu-jitsu or something like that.
Oh.
And she actually broke his leg
on nice.
Accident, of course. They were sparring together and... She kicked him the wrong way and he was like in, he had to have surgery and he was in a big leg splint and forever. I was like, oh man,
oh, goodness.
That must be, I would feel so bad.
I don't know.
I'd be going, oh, I talk about the guilt trip. It might work out for him though. Cause you know, I'd probably be waiting on him hand and foot and, you know, wanting to do everything to make it up to him. So.
All right. Till next time, we'll talk about that. If the listener has a comment, they can call the listener line, give us a feedback at 206-222-CHAT, or send me an email, chuck@chuckchat.com. Dino, do you want to share any contact information in case they want to send you comments?
Sure. If you're, you know, one of those crazy, geeky project managers and you're interested in checking out the show, my website is www.controllingchaos.com. And if you're interested in leaving me a message, you can give me a buzz at 800-428-72... Oh, crap, I just forgot my number. What is my number, Chuck? Do you remember it?
I thought it was 7105. Now I can't remember
7105, okay.
Is that
you're
right?
Have to,
or am you're, I
no,
confusing
it's totally not even right.
Oh, right. You're going to make me look it up, aren't you?
800. Oh, gosh. You know what? I am so sorry. What is my number? Where is it? I just saw it. You're going to have to edit
well,
that part
I'm
out.
Well, I'm looking out. There's no editing. I always thought Chaos would make a nice name for an operating system. Just the
I
letter K
so
and an
yeah.
OS.
Well, you know, it's funny because somebody asked me the other day how I came up with that. And I said, you know, it just kind of popped into my head because I always think of, you know, project management as trying to control chaos. So I always think of controlling as in the process of. I haven't actually done it yet.
You're never there.
And I'm not actually just telling you to do it.
1-800-758-4024.
I was getting confused with my other number. Or you can send an email to the crazy lady. No, Dina@controllingchaos.com. Oh, you can tell I've had a really long day.
Thank
and it must
you.
Be even longer for you.
I'm getting there. Thank you for joining me.
It was a blast.
And we
Thanks,
will do
Chuck.
It again.
I hope so. Thanks. A blast.
And we
Thanks,
will do
Chuck.
It again.
I hope so. Thanks.
Farpoint Media, powered by Podango.